The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone and welcome along to the Christmas edition of The Punt Podcast. Dave Kellner here alongside Lee Phelps in the studio and David McGovern on the line to look ahead to the matches on Boxing Day. And we will, of course, have a treble that will come within a whisker of landing towards the end of the podcast as well. First of all, it's a good morning to you, Derek.
Good morning, Dave. How's things?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I know. Interestingly, you subtly got in the mention of the treble there because it was chinned by the 96-minute goal by Martin Skrtel at Anfield. And, of course, I was the one who tipped Arsenal. So I've let you down, boys. Sorry about that.
I feel a bit like Father Christmas, like carrying you two every single week at the minute. Dear me. God. I'm going to put some jingle bells on that intro. So when listeners listen to this, there will be jingle bells underneath that intro. Just to make it sound a bit festive.
Lovely. Thank you.
You know what? Isn't it typical? You know when someone's... Say you're waiting on a result, not a draw in a game, and you say, how did the Villa City game go? Oh, you know what? It was a 96-minute winner. And you just know that you just rip your ticket up there because you know it's not going to have gone your way.
Yeah, never does, does
true,
it? Never, ever does.
Absolute sickness. DK said earlier in the season, Doug, it might have been before your return, that any goal scored after the 90th minute shouldn't count in the Naps table.
Quite right.
And I think we would have been paid out about three or four times because of it.
Definitely.
Bookmakers do that offer. Hills have done that before, haven't they?
Have they really?
Yeah, there's a similar kind of offer where if you get chinned after the 90th minute, it doesn't count.
That would be lucrative for the punter, I think.
Yeah, maybe.
It would be. Yeah,
that's why we don't do it anymore.
You just don't moan about it. When you get a winner and it's after the 90th, you don't go on about it, do you?
That's why. It's an unknown feeling. You never do. Bookies sponsor last-minute goals. You know, like they sponsor those ridiculous sprint handicaps that you can't possibly back a winner in. They sponsor last-minute goals.
So.
Yeah.
Superb. Let's get stuck into this Boxing Day fixture list then. And we'll start off with Chelsea. Recording this prior to Chelsea's meeting with Stoke this evening, but Chelsea 1-3 to win this match. The draw 4-1. West Ham in the betting 8-1. Headline offer as here: Cesc Fabregas to score and Chelsea to win is 5-2. Andy Carroll to score and the Hammers to win. West Ham to win is 14-1. Chelsea pretty short here, Derek. Obviously, that home form is incredible, but they've got a bit of pressure on them now, given that Manchester City have clicked into gear recently. And West Ham only failed to score once this season. That was against Aston Villa. Looked good again on Saturday afternoon against Leicester. And there's a bit of an undercurrent running through this fixture as well, because if you remember that fixture at Stamford Bridge last year, West Ham went there, Derek, and got a 0-0 draw. And Jose Mourinho accused them of playing 19th century football.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
At the time.
They should all turn up in monocles and really long tashes and long shorts on, shouldn't they?
There might be a little bit of bite in this fixture this year.
Well, there will be. It's a London derby as well. West Ham are the story of the season. They're doing fantastically well. And somehow... You think, well, there's got to be a value here, a value bet here, because Chelsea at 1-3 is just too short. This could be a Chelsea side. We're speaking on Monday lunchtime now. This could be a Chelsea side who was softened up by Stoke on Monday night, and they could be licking their wounds come this game. But you can't bring yourself to back West Ham to win at Chelsea, because no team ever does. But in the handicap market, they're almost even money with a two-goal start. And even if West Ham get beat, you can't see anybody giving them a mulleran. I think that's a great bet, and plus the fact that Chelsea have a history of easing off once the job's done. I think that's a fantastic bet. 4-5, not often I'll say that's, I like even money or above, but 4-5 with a two-goal star Hammers, that's something to bet on now.
Yeah, I like that. West Ham plus two goals, 4-5 in the handicap market. West Ham are a big price at 8-1. And it's football, mate, in terms of time, Lee, if you can flip a clock back 8 months, if that's possible.
I can't wait till the end of this sentence.
I can't either.
Can you hurry up, because my kids are looking forward to Christmas Eve.
You turn time back. A lot has changed in the past 8 months for West Ham, because this time last year they wanted Sam Allardyce out, and then on Saturday they they're chanting his name in the stands. Yeah. It's incredible.
14
really.
Points this time last year, apparently, yeah. they said on Match of the Day, and now there they are on 31. I think that this will be their undoing, though, in this game. I think, in
Do
a
you
way,
think so?
I think that they would be better going into a game at Stamford Bridge, needing the points desperately, needing a point desperately and being up against it. I think they'll go into this with a little bit too much confidence, and because of that, they'll end up losing to Chelsea. I mean, you know, they are playing fantastically well. I looked at quite a lot of stats for this, so stick with me here. They average 16 shots and 5 on target every away game. However, 7 of the 8 away games have been against bottom 10 sides so far. The other one was against Man U. To be fair, we're lucky to beat West Ham on the day. You look at Chelsea at home, they average 18 shots on goal per every game, 7 of them on target. Costa, listen to these for stats, 8 goals at Stamford Bridge from just 21 shots on goal. And they've beaten Tottenham and Arsenal at home to nil already. I just think there's a lot of chat already about, you know, West Ham being in the top four. Can they get Champions League football? I mean, this is just... It's a waste of airtime, waste of copy in newspapers. No. There's your answer. Can West Ham get Champions League football? No. Same as Southampton. Can Southampton get Champions League? No. They can't. They can't go for the full season, but they are playing pretty well at the minute. Last year, when they got the 0-0, it was backs to the walls. It was defend with your life. They'll attack. They'll go forward. They'll be confident enough to attack here. I'm just wondering if they can get a goal. I think that's where the value lies for me. It's Chelsea winning, but West Ham scoring a goal. And it's 2-1. They've only conceded it on a couple of occasions, Chelsea at home. You know, one of those was an own goal for John Terry. Then I think Swansea got a consolation when they were 4-1 down. The other one was that they've only conceded one other goal. I think it was QPR who scored against Chelsea. And when you think back to that goal, it was Charlie Austin who scored. A bit of a fluky goal. He kind of flicked it in. But they attacked with pace down the flanks when Chelsea had kind of pushed up. They turned Chelsea round. The Hammers can do that because they've got pace on the wings. They've obviously got strikers in form. Anyone who likes correct scores, I'm going 3-1. That's not my main bet, though. I'll go Chelsea to win and both teams to score 2-1.
They can get Champions League football, West Ham.
No, they won't. How much do you want now?
They probably won't.
No, they won't.
It's a big odds against price, but Arsenal and Liverpool are underperforming so far this season.
They'll get better and West Ham will fall away.
You began going on about this time last year, Dave. This time last year, Lee began that argument.
Fair play.
It's obviously a huge prize for West Ham, still a big prize for West Ham to get top four. It's not inconceivable, though, is it, Derek?
Well, not the way Arsenal and Liverpool are shaping up. No, I don't think they will. No, but they'll never have a better chance, let's put it that way. I'll be mightily surprised if they're still in the top four, because we keep expecting Arsenal and Liverpool to get better. And there were signs from Liverpool yesterday that they are going to be, especially with Sturridge coming. But we're halfway through the season now. How long do we wait for them to get better?
12-1 there.
West Ham?
Yeah.
For the top four?
That should be
25s easy.
Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't be tempted by that, but you know, it's not without the realms of possibility outside the realms.
Speaking of Arsenal, they're in action on the television on Friday tea time, 5:30 PM kickoff. Arsenal 2-7, the draw 4-1 and QPR 10-1. Alexis Sanchez to score and Arsenal to win is 5-4 on the headline offer. Charlie Austin to score again and QPR to win is 16-1. Lee, there's already a lot of comment about Charlie Austin and whether he's going to be there after this transfer window. Single-handedly rescued them on Saturday against West Brom. Harry Redknapp has insisted that the striker is going nowhere, which means he'll probably be gone very, very shortly. Arsenal's performance was laboured, to say the least, against Liverpool. Managed to get a 2-2 draw, and it was incredible. Even when Liverpool went down to 10 men, albeit late on in that match, when Berini was sent off, Arsenal had less of the ball after that than they'd had before. It was a weird performance.
Yeah, it was a real off day, wasn't it? They were saying on the TV that, you know, Wenger he almost looked shocked, like he didn't know who it was, which team it was that had gone out there. Credit to them that they can still almost win the game, and obviously should have won the game, really. You know, 2-1 up going into stoppage time, and they should have sealed the punt treble.
That's only going to get mentioned another 10 times on the podcast.
If you go back, remember the widespread adulation that I got from my Everton QPR theory?
Yes,
which didn't happen, obviously.
Yeah.
I'm sticking to it. I'm going to give it another chance here.
I can't believe I forgot to mention that last week, actually.
Yeah, I know. Austin back, of course, and scoring. You know, I think His scoring record away from home isn't anywhere near as good as his home record. 2 goals from 18 shots in 6 away games, whereas he's got 9 goals from 40 shots at home. But he is an outball. He's something where he's a player, obviously, what they can hit when they're away from home and they can relieve some pressure. They're the worst attackers in the league, though, QPR away from home. Average of just 2 shots on target a game. And Austin needs more than that, as I've just explained. Arsenal also allow the fewest shots on goal in the Premier League. I'm going on a goals bet here. The half-time draw full-time Arsenal is something that I could see happening, because I'm not sure QPR can hold out for the full 90 minutes.
3-1, by the way.
Yeah, which is all right. You know, but what I think, because I got chinned a little bit by QPR, obviously, you know, the Everton goals came a little bit earlier than I expected. I'm going to go for a bet based around the 30th minute. Now, there are a few ways of playing this. You can go for the draw at 30 minutes, which is, I think it's 17-20, which is a little bit short for me, to be honest. Or you can do something like first Arsenal goal, 31st minute and after, that's 11-10, or Arsenal to score the first goal and that first goal to come after the 31st minute, which is, I think it's 7-4. The reasons for that is that since QPR actually started playing, which is after the Tottenham and Man United away games, where they just sat off both teams and let them do what they wanted, they've only conceded 1 goal inside the 30th minute away from home, and that was an own goal at West Ham. They've been to West Ham, Chelsea, Everton, Newcastle when they're in good form, Swansea, who everyone says is a good team, and Southampton when they were playing well as well. So all those decent teams they've been to, only conceded once inside the 30th minute. And as I've said a few times, Arsenal don't score many early goals. I think it's only 3 so far this season at home that they've scored in the first half. So Arsenal to score first goal after the 31st minute at 7-4. I'll just double check that price, but it was 7-4.
It is there.
You know what?
You need to be an explorer to find the markets.
At the bottom of goal time tab.
Yeah, it's the bottom of the goal time tab. It's there. Arsenal score first.
It's called a time cast.
First goal after 31 minutes, 7-4. Go on, Derek.
Well, I was thinking, you know, Lee's argument last week for that Everton game, it was persuasive. Now, the only reason it was it turned out to be codswallop, sorry, Lee, is that QPR totally changed their outlook. And, you know, before the kickoff, I saw the team sheets, and it was un-QPR-like. They looked as though they had a bit of pace on the break, and I thought, well, you know, all those best-laid plans, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that's probably why it all went pear-shaped. I'm struggling with this game because... Let me tell you the reason I backed Arsenal against Liverpool on Sunday was because, not because Arsenal, I'm any big fan of Arsenal, but I just thought Liverpool were there for the taking. Now, if Arsenal were outplayed by a Liverpool side that were there for the taking, I ain't going to be backing them at 1-3 here. And all these people who are going on how disgraceful it is that Wenger gets, you know, the stick, what he's done at Arsenal. What has he done at Arsenal in the last 8 or 9 years? Bugger all, that's what. And I look at that team now, I look at that Arsenal squad, and, okay, you'd say that Sanchez is a decent signing, but he has to be, the money they paid for him. You look at the rest of that Arsenal team now, and, you know, the days of Thierry Henry, Perez, Bergkamp, my God, I mean, what a workman-like side that is. You know, I'm not having it. I'm not backing them at 1-3 to beat QPR, because, okay, you know, QPR are getting battered by everybody away from home, but a decent performance has got to be on the horizon soon after coming back from 2-0 down, you know, on Saturday. I'm not going to back QPR to win this, but I'm going to back them with a goal start, because I'm going to oppose Arsenal at every possible opportunity now. I'm not having them finishing in the top 4. QPR plus a goal is nearly 3-1. I'm going to go for that.
It's 14-5 QPR plus a goal. The thing that I thought stood out was the players looked lost. They didn't look like they knew what Wenger was trying to achieve with the team selection. That's what stood out to me on Sunday.
Name a player in that Arsenal side who would get in the Chelsea and Man City side.
Yeah, maybe Sanchez at a push, but yeah, I know what you mean. Alexis Sanchez is fantastic,
you know,
I think. But.
There's not too many. All right, take Sanchez out for you. Say, if Sanchez wasn't there, right, who would get in that? Who would get in Liverpool's side at Arsenal team? Honestly.
Of that Arsenal team, no. And, I mean, it's funny because I looked at the team sheets before and I thought, Arsenal's team looks all right. But then if you're not attacking, it looks terrible. I mean, I know, I don't want to go on and on and on about it, but Mertesacker ducked out of the way of 2 crosses.
Well, he's the smallest 6'5" man you'll ever see, isn't he?
I mean, yeah, anyone who watched Match of the Day 2 last night, Mark Chapman asked the question, is he too big? He did say, this might be a daft question, but is he too big to jump or something? So, I mean, what? I've been out
with a few women like that.
I mean, Phil Neville was pretty scathing in his he called him a shirker, basically, and just to say, you know, you can't do that. You can't duck out of the way of a cross. I mean, how is he captain?
Oh, God. I was here professional footballer, seriously.
Unbelievable, isn't
and
it?
I'm not.
Absolutely where, crazy.
There's no justice in this world, is there? Someone famously once said. Arsenal QPR then, Arsenal 2-7.
OJ Simpson, that was. Four,
draw 4-1 QPR in the best. QPR plus a goal there is Derek's bet at 14-5 and Lee going with that timecast bet. Arsenal to score first and the first goal to be
after the 31st minute.
You know, it makes 7-4. West Brom versus Manchester City. Next, all these following games, Friday 3 p.m, Boxing Day 3 p.m. kickoffs. West Brom 6-1, the draw 3-1. Manchester City in the market at 1-2. And Derek, Man City flying at the moment. Won the last five fixtures between the two sides as well. Certainly the most informed team in the Premier League. And we said on the podcast a while back that that result against Bayern Munich could act as a catalyst, and it certainly has. They've been sensational, even with the absences.
Yeah, well, I thought they might struggle with the absence of Aguero, but you know he seems to be not needed at the moment. They've got a great run of fixtures coming up as well. You know, I'm beginning to think they'll win the league now, mainly because the man that helped them win the league a couple of times is Yaya Toure, and he's coming back to form now. I mean, he's looking at the Yaya of old, and they're going to win this. You know, they're absolutely 1-2, they're absolute certainties. And I'm just thinking, can I see West Brom scoring when they've got, what's his name, Brown Adai, probably the worst signing ever, playing up front for them.
Record signing he was.
Yeah.
10 million quid?
I'd never heard of him, and I haven't seen him do anything. I mean, he doesn't get many starts, to be honest, but whenever he's on the pitch, I've never seen him do anything.
No. Berahino hit the bar, didn't he? Hit the post, I think. So, you know, getting closer to scoring a goal. But, he's terrible, isn't he, that Brown Adai?
Yeah.
I mean, the West Brom fans are just like... We said, didn't we, the way he scored two goals in the reserves against Northampton Town. Yeah. Everyone was like, "Why he's back to form." Jeez.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, Man City to be the only team, you know, Man City to win 2-0, basically. It's almost 6-4. I mean, I can't believe my eyes at that. That's a tremendous bet.
Yeah, it does look good, doesn't it?
The way I look at this, Derek, is we've previewed two matches. Chelsea a 1-3 to win at home against West Ham. Arsenal 2-7 to win at home against QPR. Man City 1-2. Is home form really worth that extra?
I don't believe that. You see, yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, they look a better bet than both Arsenal and Chelsea to me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Lee.
I mean, I think they'll win. I mean, you're saying like, you know, the beating everyone in sight. They didn't struggle against Leicester, but our colleague here, Brad, who does all the pitch announcing at Leicester, and he's not a Leicester fan, like, who's, you know, blinded. He's had a big bet on them going down. He said that they should have got something out of that game against Man City. He said they were much better, and he was predicting them having a wretched season anyway. So I'm willing to kind of think that maybe they're just starting to get a little bit more, a little bit of form back. But I mean, you know, it's a West Brom. Can West Brom do the same thing? I don't think West Brom are as organised as Leicester were to be able to get a result like that. I think it might take them a little while, but I can't really think of much better than what Derek's gone, the win to nil. And one thing I will say is watching the Man City game at the weekend. It's a long time since I've played FIFA, but you know, like in FIFA, you have it was always frowned upon when I played FIFA. I don't know if you've played it more recently. If you had a set move. If you had a set move and you always did that set move and didn't play the game properly. So if your move was you get down the side, you cross it in, and it's boring, that, isn't it? That's what Man City did at the weekend against Palace. Every time they got the ball in the final third, they cut down to the edge of the byline and cut it back for someone to have a shot. Yeah. They must have done that a dozen times before it finally went in. So I think it's unfair. I think we should outlaw Man City using their FIFA move, which is just a cutback. I'm on my way to making a point here, which is because of those cutbacks, the people who come onto them obviously are Silva and Yaya Toure. I think Yaya Toure at 13-10, as Derek was saying, is a great bet. He's always around the edge of the box. He's always going to muscle his way into space for those cutbacks. And I think at 13-10, of all those players who are, you know, going to run onto it, I think he's the man there. Obviously, would have landed at the weekend.
You're getting ideas. You're getting ideas beyond your PlayStation. That's your
point. Yaya Toure to score any time. Lee's bet then at 13-10. West Brom 6-1 to win the match. The draw 3-1, Man City in the market at 1-2.
Just a wee bet on that one.
Everton versus Stoke next. Everton 17-20. The draw 23-10. Stoke 7-2. Romelu Lukaku to score at the right end, and Everton to win is 3-1. And Peter Crouch to score, and Stoke to win 8-1. Those are the two headline offers here. Everton odds on, Lee, here. 13 points less they've got than at this stage last season. They were really poor against Southampton. Roberto Martinez thought they played well. I think he was watching a different game. They had a lot of possession but didn't create anything at all. I think they only had two shots on target and one of them was in the last minute. I just wonder when the fans are going to turn on Everton a little bit, because you're not quitting the mustard at the moment, Roberto Martinez.
No. It was interesting. We do another podcast called the FWA podcast, which is a kind of a chat with the Football Writers Association, different journalists from that. And I think it was Chris Davis a couple of weeks ago who said, and I meant to mention it on the punt when he mentioned it, but he said he sees Roberto Martinez as a bit of a kind of a new version of Arsene Wenger, whereby his style of play outweighs his desire to have a good defence. And, you know, we said this time and time again, season in, season out, Derek, about him at Wigan. When you looked at the stats, he never improved that defence year on year. And it was only, you know, great runs near the end of the season or good signings up front, you know, that got them out of trouble. And eventually, they got the comeuppance because he never improved that defence. He inherited a very solid defence from David Moyes. Now they're showing signs of ageing and maybe some creaks in that defence now, and it's coming back to bite him, I think. So poor defensively. And whatever you've got going forward, you can't bomb forward like they were. I mean, you know, I didn't think Southampton would do what they did to Everton, but it was really obvious in the end. Just waiting for the fullbacks to bomb on and then get behind them. And then you've got Jagielka, who's, you know, a good defender, but not the paciest. And you've got, you know, good attackers, you know, racing on at them. I think Everton will still attack. I don't think they'll go and try and defend this time. That's not the way they do things. I think they'll still attack. And I think Stoke will also play on the counter. I'm going for a bet on the goals in the first half in this match. 9 of the 14 home goals for Everton have been struck in the first half. 6 of Stoke's 10 away goals have been in the first half. I think Stoke will go after Everton and try and hit them on the break. Everton, like I say, will start quickly. So I'll just have a look, actually, see which is... if you go to goals, which is the tab underneath my markets, you can now bet on both teams to score in the first half or the amount of goals there will be. Now, over 1.5 first half goals is 12-5. And I'm looking for both teams to score in the first half, but I can't find it. I think that might be in the main section of the website, actually. I'll look at that and I'll come back to you at the end, DK. Okay. Both teams to score in the first half. If that's bigger, I'll go for that.
Over 1.5 first half goals in the market at 12-5.
Both teams to score. Is it there?
Isn't there yet. It'll be there in play.
I'll find it.
Derek,
You know what? I'm just thinking about this one. You know, they still play on Monday night. Now, if they were to lose to Chelsea, which the market expects them to do,
yeah,
they'd still be 7-2 for this game. They ain't going to get pushed out because they're expected to lose to Chelsea. But if they beat Chelsea, and I've got a sneaking fancy that they will, that 7-2 ain't going to last too long, is it?
Just Everton at odds on. Given that they've only won 1-6 as well.
Well, you take the words right out of me, gob. I mean, Stoke at 7-2, a must-bet material. There's one other bet on the coupon we'll come to shortly that also comes under that category. But, you know, Everton went to Southampton, who had just lost 5 matches on the spin against not great, some decent opposition, but some moderate. And they got battered 3-0. You know, I always think the catalyst for Everton is Morales, and he's still on the sidelines, isn't he? I mean... I think they're going to struggle here. I think Stoke are one of those teams, a bit like Villa. I'm always prepared to back a decent odds away from home, and they're going to win this one. I'm convinced Stoke will win at 7-2.
Superb. Stoke 7-2 to win the game. And Lee, you found that bet?
5-1, both teams to score in the first half. That might be my nap. I think that's a massive price for two teams who, as I said, you know, 60% of Stoke's away goals are scored, you know, in the first half. And that's just over 60%. 9 of 14, is that about 64% of our home goals are scored in the first half? I might be wrong. If I'm wrong on that, don't give me stick. I haven't got an abacus in the studio. But 5-1 isn't a 60% chance of something landing.
Yeah.
In my book.
Okay. Both have got to come together and happen at the same time.
That's how stats work.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, for first half, both teams to score at 5-1. Let's move on. Let's have a look at Manchester United.
It's actually a 16% chance of it, isn't it? 5-1.
Pipe yes. down, Phelps.
Well said, Derek.
You can see he's got the Christmas spirit about him already, haven't you? You get into Christmas. Last week he was all, oh, I can't wait for Christmas. Now we're into the week and it's starting to week Scrooge-like already.
Manchester United 2-5. The draw 100-30. Newcastle 7-1. Angel Di Maria to score and Manchester United to win is 2-1. And Iotsi to score and Newcastle to win 12-1. Also known as everyone knows him as Perez, don't they?
Yeah, he looks good, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He does look good, doesn't he?
Him to score and Newcastle to win 12-1. Man United's run, Derek, came to an end at Villa Park. Falcao got his second goal for the club. Man United dominated possession, but didn't create many chances and couldn't break Villa down despite the sending off of Gabby Agbonlahor. So they played for almost half an hour with 10 men and Villa still looked pretty comfortable in that match.
Yeah, you know, you look at the Man United team sheet, the one going forward, you know, the attack, and you think they're going to muller the team soon. I mean, they've been getting those wins, 5 or 6 on the bounce without playing well, and you expected it all to come together, but it seems to be going the opposite way, and I think there's actually something seriously wrong at United, you know. I mean, there's another team there who everybody think are odds on to finish in the top four, but there's something wrong. And I'm having a go at Newcastle here, you know. I think it's 7-1. Okay, I wasn't that impressed with them against Sunderland, but it's a derby match, and, you know, I've seen Liverpool throw in some stinkers in derby matches. I think United are there for the taking right now. And one thing Newcastle have is a threat up front with Perez and also Cisse as well. I'm going to go for them. I just think 7-1. Again, these are prices like from the Fergie reign. They're not from what we're seeing this season. 7-1 is too big for the away team here. I'm going to go for them.
Newcastle for Derek at 7-1. They've lost 3 straight now, Newcastle. And Alan Pardew starting to come under fire once again, which seems a little bit ridiculous, but losing derby matches is never good for morale, and he's good at losing derby matches, Alan Pardew.
Yeah, he is. He struggles like mad against Sunderland, doesn't he? I know what Derek means, but I think they're so different at home than they are away from home, Manu. You know, Louis van Gaal, you know, I love his post-match interviews because he's so honest. You know, he says it how it is. You know, and he said before the Villa game, he said he was a bit worried about it because they're away form and they were just poor. I thought they were poor. This fixture tends to have goals in it. Man United beat them 4-3 on Boxing Day in 2012. Obviously, you know, same manager for Newcastle. They've been, you know, they've beaten 3-0 away from home, 4-0 away from home in April as well. So I'm looking at goals. The one thing about Man United is that those strikers, I said this before the weekend, I think you one of the stats that you said, DK, evidenced this, that they can, if they get chances, their strikers will put them away. And I think I'm going to look at, you know, Man United. Just Man United goals. Over 2.5, 13-10 though for Man U. So I think I'll look at the first half goals for Man U because, you know, they look to me like they're starting to get that thing back where Fergie used to send them out and they used to fly into matches. And I think that's what we'll see here, Man United. So I'm going to look, I was going to look for Man United to score over 1.5 first half goals, really get into Newcastle. Newcastle conceded 4 at Tottenham, 4 at Arsenal. I think they're starting to, you know, Newcastle are either fantastic or absolutely crap in my book. I don't think you often get much of a middle ground from them. So first half Man U goals. There we go. First half Man U goals over 1.5, 12-5. I like that a lot.
Okay, Man United starting to get their players fit again as well. Marcus Rojo, Chris Smalling, Marouane Fellaini, who was out with illness.
If he doesn't play this weekend, Rojo, you're not allowed to say that again. That's 3 podcasts I think you said he's coming back.
He's coming back.
Hasn't he looked poor, Rojo?
Do you think?
Yeah.
I think he's looked okay. What do you think, Lee?
DK's a Man United fan, Derek. He's a Man United fan. I'm whispering this because I don't think he wants anyone to know. Man United fan. I don't know. I haven't really seen enough of him to comment, to be honest.
No.
I think, and who's going to look good in that defence?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Not him.
They could score, I suppose, Newcastle. Man United 9-5 to win
score.
The match, and both teams score. Newcastle 7-1 to win away at Old Trafford. Sunderland. Next up, 21-20 Sunderland.
This is a stinker.
Against Hull. The draw 11-5 and Hull 11-4. Those celebrations, Lee, following Adam Johnson's winner, just incredible, weren't they? I've never seen anything like it. Gus Poyet was going crazy.
Means a lot in the Northeast, mate.
Yeah, evidently. There, it was just, it was something to behold. You would think they'd won the league.
It was Gus Poyet you were saying about on the touchline. He is crazy, isn't he, Derek?
Yeah.
I'm sure it was him you were talking about, weren't you?
Yeah.
Just mad. Absolutely
it's
mad.
It is brilliant to watch, but that was just an incredible reaction to that goal. Yeah. Fantastic finish from Adam Johnson, though, who's looking good.
Yeah. I did this last week. I think you went first on a match that I know Hull are poor, but 11-4 at Sunderland, it's not quite the 3-1 that Derek would like, but it looks a bit big to me. I mean, I can't be having Sunderland at 21-20 at the minute. This is a hard game. This is the hardest one of all for me. I don't like either team at the moment. You know, at some point you think Hull have got to get something out of a game. So maybe the draw is the way to play it. But I just think it's going to be a low scorer. I go under 1.5 goals at 2-1. Wouldn't be surprised if it's 0-0.
Under 1.5 goals at 2-1. Derek, I think you've mentioned it a few times on the podcast. You look at the Hull squad and think that there must be an upside.
Yeah.
We need to see it in results, though, don't we?
Yeah.
And they're not performing.
No. It's easy money opposing Hull at the moment. I might be prepared to back him 11-4 if it was like Hull that had a decent result here and there, but they're not getting any. You know, they look like a team that's going down, and I can't see how I'm going to turn it around against a Sunderland who must be absolutely cock-a-hoop after the weekend. That was a great performance by Sunderland. I watched that game. I know that Newcastle had the chances, but Sunderland looked a tidy team. Mm. I can't see Hull winning this. I really can't, but I understand Lee's reservations about Sunderland at 21-20. They don't score enough goals. Yeah, I'm going to go for the draw here. There's got to be a draw somewhere on the coupon. This will be it.
Yeah.
The draw 11-5. It's almost a game where if you could have a stay away from one match on the coupon this Boxing Day, that would probably be it, wouldn't it? Sunderland versus
As it is, we encourage people to have a bet on every single game.
Yeah, so we'll go for the draw there at 11-5. Burnley versus Liverpool, 16-5 Burnley. The draw in the market at 11-4. Liverpool 4-5. Played with fluency, Liverpool, against Arsenal on Sunday, but the goals they conceded were poor. Derek, what did you make of the performance, first of all?
Very good. Miles better than anything I've seen from this season, apart from one maybe against a Tottenham team earlier on. It looked a lot better. They looked a threat going forward. But odds, you know, are we going to back them at odds on away from home? It's a bit like that Crystal Palace game a few weeks ago when Liverpool went to Palace and it was similarly priced there. Palace, I think they were 7-2. Probably a bit more about Palace than there is about Burnley, but you know, they've had one or two decent results, the Clarets. I don't think it all is right for Liverpool yet. There are signs that they're coming back, but until you know those signs are translated into results, why would I back them at odds on away from home? I ain't going to. I'm going to back Burnley 16-5
Burnley. The one decision that I find impossible to fathom is Brad Jones in net, Derek. I just think he's terrible.
He doesn't look a proper goalie. He looks like, you know, a disaster waiting to happen. But he's got, at the moment, he's better than Mignolet, isn't he? You know,
I don't think so. He must be really bad, Simo. He must be really bad in training as well, Mignolet Lee, because that Debuchy header, he didn't even dive.
It was bad defending all round. How do you get three headers like that in the box without someone getting in there? And, you know, it was just stupid to concede a goal straight after you've taken the lead, in a half that you've dominated. I think it said everything about Liverpool. I think I always feel a little... I mean, I'm not saying he's a great keeper, obviously, and they should have better keepers, but you can't just blame the goalkeeper for defensive...
But he just doesn't make any saves.
Yeah. Yeah, true. He looks like he should be in a musical to me. Do you know what I mean? He's got that look about him, that quiffed hair, and he's all... He looks pretty, you know, I always think he looks like someone who could play the John Travolta part in Greece.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
It looks like he's got grease on his hands. See, that Arsenal goal, in his defence, there was a deflection off Skirtle's head. Right on the staple, it bounced off Skirtle's head.
I mean, he came back. I mean, Skirtle, I thought, with that cut, he'd be lucky to stay upright for the rest of the match, and then ends up scoring that header that denied that punt treble in the end as well.
Well, the injury denied the punt treble, wasn't it?
Yeah,
if the injury hadn't happened, there wouldn't have been 9 minutes of added time and he wouldn't have scored.
Exactly. Precisely. What are your thoughts on this, Lee?
Yeah, Burnley, I don't think score enough goals. I agree with Derek about the odds, by the way. You know, it's very difficult to, you know, be confident in putting money on Liverpool at 4-5 as a single, to, you know, if the way they've been playing. But I think they can outscore Burnley here. You know, I think they have been improving Liverpool. I mean, it was domination in the first half, like as you say, without really creating an awful lot. They had, you know, double figure amount of chances against Man U. They've had double figure chances against Leicester away when they won 3-1. They had double figure chances against Palace in that game they lost. So they are creating the chances. It's just they haven't got anyone to stick them away. And I think they have to think...
They didn't have that many chances against Arsenal. Did they?
I
remember seeing a lot of intricate football in front of goal, but until Coutinho actually worked that up, that one opportunity...
I didn't actually mention them as being one of the games they had chances in.
Okay. I apologise.
Against Man U.
You got me there.
Yeah, but it was... You know, it was a difficult game for both sides, I think. I think Liverpool looked a lot better, but they are creating chances. And Burnley obviously allow a lot of chances on their goal as well. Liverpool obviously will control possession. They're still fallible defensively. Obviously, you know, we've seen that. So I think Liverpool and both teams to score at 13-5 would be a way in. And I think they should maybe adopt the kind of, you know, the Man City FIFA move. You know, get the ball back into midfielders race. I think one player who seems to be getting more and more confident is Markovic. I think he's getting himself into very good positions on the left. 23-10 to score any time. I wouldn't mind that. I think Liverpool could score three here. I think sooner or later they're going to pop a couple in. They did against Leicester, scored three. I think they could do it again here. So, I'll go for Markovic at 23-10 to grab a goal.
Good stuff. Leicester versus Tottenham next. Leicester 3-1 to win this match. The draw 11-5 and Tottenham in the betting at even money. They've now lost 10 and drawn 2 since that home win against Manchester United, and even though there doesn't appear to be any great desire to get rid of Nigel Pearson either from the board or from the fans, apart from that one fan who had a go at him at Liverpool and he responded and he got a touchline ban subsequently. He sits in the stands anyway, doesn't he, for the majority of the match as Nigel Pearson. But his side are now 6 points from safety, Lee, and it's getting really desperate for Leicester City. 12 without a win, 3-1 to beat Tottenham at home.
Yeah, and just making stupid mistakes. I mean, they've gone down the end, you know, they've had a couple of decent chances early on and then they just give the ball away. You know, Konchesky's ball, I mean, it was just daft. You can't be doing that. You know, as well as you play, you cannot account for those sort of mistakes when you haven't got the firepower to get yourself out of trouble. Like I said before, you know, I think that they played well against Man City without getting anything out of the game, only lost 1-0. Tottenham are playing pretty well away from home. You know, the Chelsea 3-0 defeat and the Man City 4-1 defeat apart. They've won 3 of the last 5, 2-1. Harry Kane scored in each of those 3 games as well. It's very hard for me to make an argument for Leicester to get anything out of this match. Although I do think that it's getting closer. I don't know when it's going to come. You know what I mean? I think it's going to... Eventually it'll come and I'll be like, yeah, I probably should have backed them, but the odds aren't quite good enough, are they? 3-1, Derek.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous, isn't it, really? I've got to go for Tottenham. I'd tend to go for Tottenham 2-1 at 15-2.
I think headline offer's going to attract a few people here.
3-1,
yeah. Given Tottenham are even money, Harry Kane scored in his last 3, him to score and Tottenham to win. It is 3-1, which doesn't look bad. Derek?
Yeah, but you can actually get more, can't you? Actually, it is a decent bet, that, because Kane is 6-5 to score any time. And, of course, if he scores, it's a related bet. If he scores, Tottenham are likely to win. So, yeah, 3-1 is a decent headline bet. Tottenham at evens is like finding money in the street. Leicester, I've got no right to be in the Premier League, but a performance. It's 10 defeats from 12. I'm surprised it's not 12. Man United must be thinking, how on earth did we lose 5-3 to them? They're just not good enough. You look at the squad and you look at the whole squad and you think, yeah, that's going to turn around soon because they've got good players. I don't see any in the Leicester side. And, you know, say what you like about Tottenham, there are some good players in the team. Not world class, but there are some good players there. And it's an absolute banker bet, Tottenham.
Tottenham a banker. Even money, Tottenham to win away at Leicester. Leicester in the betting at 3-1, the draw in the market at 11-5. Penultimate match this weekend.
No, there's another one after this, isn't there?
See, he's brightening up a bit now.
Swansea 4-5, the draw 9-4. Aston Villa 4-1. Swansea odds on here. Only lost a couple at home this season. Firstly to Southampton and then in their last home game against Tottenham. They're currently 5 points ahead of Villa in the table. we often talk, Derek, about Villa being more suited to playing away from home than at home, and that's borne out by the statistics this season. They picked up more points away from home, and Christian Benteke looked in good form, didn't he, against Manchester United. Thought he might have a good game and could have had a couple, really.
Yeah, and you know, I mentioned Stoke earlier at 72. This is the other one, Aston Villa 4-1. I think it's a fantastic bet. I mean, you know, I'm not sure about Agbonlahor's horses. I know he was sent off at the weekend, but is the talk about it getting rescinded? I don't know.
It should be rescinded, shouldn't it? Wasn't sending off.
So, I mean, he might still be in the lineup. And if he is, I'll be doubling my bet on Villa. I mean, Swansea, yeah, we know all about Swansea. They're capable of beating the best, and they're capable of throwing in howlers, and you're never quite sure what you're going to get. So why on earth would you back them at 4-5? Some games, Swansea are about as menacing as my onesie. But Villa at 4-1, just too big a price. I've made a few bob back on Villa at these kind of odds in the past away from home, and I intend to on Boxing Day.
Is it a Liverpool onesie?
Yeah, of course it is.
And I think when he goes out in it, the public...
I think
when he goes out in it, the public would describe it as particularly menacing, actually.
Have you really got a onesie, Derek?
Of course. Lots of them. Three onesies.
That's his version of the Superman suit, isn't
it? I'd love to see that.
Same onesie, but in just numerous different versions.
I'm putting on weight now. It's a twosie.
Aston Villa 4-1 to win the match away at Swansea for Derek. Lee?
Yeah. Every game that Swansea play, I don't want to be with them. And then I can't remember which team it was that Derek said he couldn't call them right the other week. It might have been Swansea, actually, was it, Derek?
Yeah.
And I'm the same.
Pretty much every team.
I mean, you know, They made seven changes like it was a cup match against Hull. And, I mean, I know Hull are limited, but still beat them 1-0 and looked relatively comfortable. I don't know about this game, to be honest with you. I get what Derek says, and, you know, the price is very tempting. But I just get a feeling that Villa aren't quite at it as much as they were. I'll tell you what I'm going to go for, because I think it'll be quite an open game. I'm going to go in that score is, have either of these. Boney's even money. Benteke is 11-5. Benteke is obviously the value there if he's starting to look a bit more like his old self.
That's a good bet, that, I think.
11-5. Looks a big price, doesn't it? I mean, you can have them both. If you go to the scorers and corners tab, you can back the anytime goal scorers doubled. So Boney and Benteke to both score at any time is 5-1.
Good stuff. 5-1 for Boney and Benteke both to score. And we finish off with Crystal Palace versus Southampton. Crystal Palace 12-5. The draw 21-10. Southampton in the market at 5-4. Palace outclassed by Manchester City at the weekend, Lee, but that was to be expected in many ways. Impressed with Southampton's performance, though, given all those injuries, showed a real hunger and desire and a bit of spirit to beat Everton 3-0, and they barely gave Everton a sniff. And Ronald Koeman came out after the match and talked about Harrison Reed's performance. He came into the team and was very strong defensively. Can they do the same again with the injuries away from home, though? That's the burning question here.
It's an interesting match, actually. I mean, look at that Everton game. You could see the confidence flooding back into them as the goals went in against Everton. I talked about them going back to basics for that game. I kind of got the basics wrong. I thought they would go back to being defensively very strong, whereas it was more like the way they used to, or they were getting possession back and then attacking very quickly was what they went back to. Really rapid attacks, and they caught Everton out as the fullbacks pushed on. Now, Palace only average about 40% possession at home, maybe 43% possession at home. Southampton are a team who like to have a lot of possession. So, I mean, it could be a low scorer, this one. I mean, you know, kind of nicking your argument about how Chef U set up against Southampton. A similar thing may well happen here. Interesting enough, Palace attack a lot down the left-hand side, and that's where Southampton got joy against Everton. So I think Southampton might nick this one. I think... I mean, you know, back-to-back wins might be asking a little bit too much. And once again, the price... I mean, from a match point of view, if you're not betting, I think Southampton can nick it. But I don't think you can have the 5-4. 5-4, what have they done to deserve to be 5-4?
Exactly.
Really, I mean, it's just... from a purely betting point of view, I can't have that. So I think I'm just going to go on a goal. I think they might win, but I'm just going to go on an unders goals bet. I think they'll shut up shop. I don't think Southampton will score that many. I don't think Palace will be able to break them down. So under 1.5 at 2-1. But yeah, I'm not a really strong feeling about the game at all.
No, the strongest feeling you've got is Southampton 5-4 being too short, and that's right. I mean, a mate of mine always insists that bookies always overreact to one result when really punters should look at, I say, the last six to see what's going on. If you look at the last six, there's no way that Southampton should be 5-4 favourites to win this. I mean, to be honest, I wouldn't. If someone had posted this 6-4 Palace, 6-4 Southampton, 9-4 the draw, I wouldn't have argued with that. Mm. Palace are 12-5 are too big. You know, there are a couple of match winners in the Palace side. I don't see that in the Southampton side. And the home team, an almost 5-2. Too big, Palace. I'll be on them.
Okay, Crystal Palace 12-5. The draw 21-10. Southampton 5-4. Now the moment the listeners all wait for, the punt treble, which is... It's overdue now, isn't it? I mean, talk about hitting the crossbar every week. It's been incredible. Derek, you kick us off.
Yeah, well, I've got about three or four strong fancies this week. Stoke at Everton at 7-2. Tottenham evens. I mean, that's a banker, but for the treble, I like to go a little bit more daring. So I'm going to go for Aston Villa 4-1 at Swansea.
Okay, Aston Villa 4-1 to win at Swansea. Lee?
And it rounds with onesie as well.
Even better.
Because it's Christmas, I'm going to go for both teams to score in the first half. Everton versus Stoke at 5-1.
Wow. Both teams to score in the... Where was that market in the end? Where did you find that market?
That was in the... wasn't it in the goal time? No, it wasn't, was it? It was in the main markets. All markets, just near the bottom.
Okay.
Everton, I'll work it out if you want.
No, it's fine. Everton and Stoke, both teams to score in the you're going to have to here because I can't even find it again. Yeah. Both teams to score in the first half, and I'm going to finish off with Burnley +1 on the handicap at home against Liverpool. I think Burnley are decent at Turf Moor, so I'll go Burnley +1 at 10-11. So we're talking 5-1. 4-1 and 10-11.
This could be a life changer at Christmas, couldn't it? This one,
treble, which would be nice if this landed.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Drum roll. Ooh, 56-1.
56-1. Yeah. There you go, folks.
There you go. It's got to be worth 15p, hasn't it? That
I think. Perfect to hit the Boxing Day sales. No, I prefer to hit the Boxing Day sales staff. good treble. I like that one. I got the sniff of a win out again, hasn't it? Apart from Lee.
As. Yeah, Lee's is no good there. I don't know where you come up with that one from, but we'll
stats.
See. Thank you, Derek.
Cheers, lads.
Thank you, Mr. Phelps.
Thank you very much. We'll be back. Just a quick bit of admin. Saturday the 27th, we're going to preview the 28th games. And then on Monday the 29th, we'll preview the New Year's Day games. And then we're back to normal for the Friday for the FA Cup weekend.
Okay.
Superb. Right? Yeah,
just
superb.
It's more for them than for you two, but you know.
That's good. Good to pass that information on to the listeners. Thank you for your company. Speak to you soon, Derek.
Cheers, boys.
Have a good Christmas, Derek.
And you too.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers, lads.
Bye.
Bye.
And remember, you can download this podcast via Audio Boom. Just go to our Audio Boom page, type in William Hill, and of course, you can subscribe on iTunes. Thank you, Mr. Fell.
Thank you. Have a good Christmas, DK.
And thanks to everyone for listening, and we'll speak again very shortly.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.
Ho, 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 ho! Merry Christmas!